I'm in the Galilee, and this is where Jesus said to many, come and follow me. He made it very clear, though, what it would cost to follow him. It would cost absolutely everything. One relationship would have to be supreme, and that would be their relationship to him. What he said to them here in the Galilee, he says to you today, come with me and let's study his precepts for life. As Jesus commissions his 12 disciples, and he also calls them 12 apostles, he wants them to understand that he has given them power, but they are going to face persecution. You know, it's all right when you face persecution from the world. That's what you expect. But when it comes from your loved ones, when it comes from brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers, then it's very, very difficult. In Matthew chapter 10, as we continue in this chapter, he says in verse 21, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Can you imagine your own child rising up against you? It's so painful, so very, very painful. But then to have your child say, put him to death, put him to death. I don't want to see them anymore. I don't care about them. Can you imagine the broken heart? Can you imagine the pain from that broken relationship? Some of you have experienced pain like that. Some of you have been rejected from your loved ones, and you have been felt rejection from your loved ones. And some of you have felt rejection from your own children, from your own mother, from your own father, because of the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants those who are followers of him, who are disciples of him, to understand that relationships are many times going to be fragmented and divided because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, you will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured until the end who will be saved. He wants them to understand that with this persecution, there needs to be endurance. You cannot fail. You cannot falter. You cannot turn away. Expect it and know that it may come or that it is going to come. And in the midst of that, persevere. Always when Jesus talks about trials, whenever you read about trials in the Word of God, you always see the word perseverance. Or you see the word endurance. It's the word hupomeno, which means to abide under. In other words, the situation is not to break you. The situation is not to deter you from what God has called you to be and what God has called you to do. He says, but whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teachers, nor a slave above his master. The thing that you need to remember is that persecution followed Jesus. Jesus was not loved by everyone. Remember, John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the authority, to become the sons of God. So you can expect to be rejected because Jesus was rejected. He goes on to say this. He says, it is enough for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of his household? They've accused me of being the chief of demons. They have chosen me, have said of me that I'm of Satan. And if they're going to say that to me, then they're going to say it to you. You and I need to learn to filter the words that we hear. We need to consider the source of those words that come our way. So many times we're just prone to hear whatever someone says and then to take it to heart and to believe it. But you're not to do that. Many of you have been hurt and wounded and bear those wounds because you have believed a lie rather than the truth. Because your mother or your father or your sister or your brother or your friend turned around and took that tongue of theirs and sliced you right down the middle. They used it to wound you. They used it to bring you down. And you accepted those words. And they were lies. They were lies. And when you and I believe a lie, when we allow that lie to influence us, then it begins to eat away at our bones. And we begin to take that lie and live in the light of it. And Jesus wants his disciples to understand that if they said that to me, and I'm the King of the Jews, and I'm the Messiah, and I'm the one that was expected, I'm the one that was sent, then you have to understand also that they're going to say it to you. Why? Because you're a disciple. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a student of another. And they would find a teacher whose life they admired, a teacher whose philosophy or whose words they thought were truth. And so they would want to follow that teacher. They would want to learn from that teacher. And so when they became a disciple, a follower of a teacher, they would go where that teacher went. They would stay with that teacher. As a matter of fact, the teacher, the discipler, was often the one that provided for that person. We have seen that John had his disciples. Jesus has his disciples, those that are following, those that are learning. It was like an apprenticeship. It was like learning on the road or learning by the way. And what he wants them to understand is this, that a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. You're following me. You see what's happening to me, and you can expect the same thing to happen to you. Now, this is so important, precious one, that you understand that. Because I truly believe that when you study the Word of God, you're going to find out that discipleship is synonymous with salvation. I don't believe that anyone can truly be saved, truly be born again from above, truly be a child of God without being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so what do we see here? We see, he says, therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops. It's all going to be brought out in the open. It's all going to be known for what it truly is. And then he makes a statement. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You're not to fear man. You're to fear God. God tells us that the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man is like a trap, and you're about to walk into it. And listen, all man can do is kill the body. That's all he can do. But he cannot kill your soul. I remember reading about people in the Holocaust. In fact, Elie Wiesel wrote this. He is the one that wrote the book Night. He's the Nobel Prize winner. And Elie Wiesel said this. Elie Wiesel said, "You can do anything you want to me, but you cannot make me hate you. I will refuse to hate you." You and I have a choice, and that choice is that we are to not fear man, because what they can do to you is temporal, but what God can do is eternal. So you're not to fear man, who can only kill the body, but not touch the soul. You can guard your soul. You can keep your soul. You can let people say what they want to say, do what they want to do, but it does not have to change you. You are only to fear God. He goes on to say, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." These sparrows are just a cent. They're just worth almost nothing. And you buy two sparrows for a cent. And yet, I want you to know this, that God knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. God knows it all. And God has his eye on the sparrow. You've heard that song. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches over me. He goes on to say, "But the very hairs of your head are numbered. I know all about you. I know what you're going through. Beloved, I don't know what pain you're enduring. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what rejection you're experiencing. But I can tell you this. I've known rejection. I've experienced pain. But I can tell you this, beloved, that Jesus has experienced the same thing. And he is able to keep you. He is able to hold you in the midst of it all. As long as you determine that you are the one who will not let your soul be affected by what those others do to you. Fear God, not man." We'll talk about it more in just a minute.
Don't you want to see an America that honors God? What can we do about it? Well, he's told us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we're to invest in the next generation by diligently teaching them the Word of God.
My husband and I know that it's important that our kids be rooted and grounded in God's Word. One of the tools that we've discovered to do that was Precept Boot Camp, and that's why we sent our daughter Sydney last summer. Now Sydney is not only growing in her walk with the Lord because she's studying God's Word for herself, but she's leading others and sharing with them what she learns.
So what part can you play? Will you prayerfully consider in giving to this effort in establishing young people in the United States to know God and to follow Him in His Word and make an impact on this generation?
I'm in the Galilee, beloved, where Jesus commissioned his 12, where he told them what it would cost them if they became followers of him. We're studying discipleship. He's telling them, this is what you can expect if you are going to be my disciple. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 32, he says, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who's in heaven." This is very important for you to stop and think about. When God calls us, he lays out the parameters. He tells us what is expected of us. When he says, if you're going to be my disciple, then he lets us know exactly what it's going to cost. And if you're rejected by men and rejected by brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, then you find it hard to confess him before others because you know that you're rejected because you've aligned yourself with Jesus Christ. And so he wants them to understand. Now look, you cannot be ashamed of me. You must be willing to confess me before men. You cannot hide the fact that you are my disciple, that you are a follower of me. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father who's in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you. The lines are drawn, and beloved, there is no compromise. This is the Lord speaking. This is the Master speaking. This is the Son of God speaking. This is the Savior of the world speaking. He is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. He's the way, and he's saying, this is the way. He says in verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. So many of us think, okay, Jesus Christ came, and we sing peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But really, what the angel said was peace on earth and goodwill toward men with whom God is pleased. He did not say that he's coming right now to bring a reign of peace. No, he's not. Because when he steps into the world, when he came, when he was born of a virgin and then began his public ministry, he divided the people. He divided the righteous from the unrighteous. He divided those that were true followers of Jesus Christ, true followers of God, from those who had a bogus relationship. And so he says, do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. Did you hear that? It's a very, very hard and difficult saying. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. I know if you're like me, you love it when you see a whole family that loves Jesus. The parents love Jesus. The children love Jesus. Everything in that home is centered around Jesus. And that's what we long for. We long for our children to follow us and to imitate us, even as we are imitators of Jesus Christ. But we have to understand this, that discipleship, following Jesus, is a matter of an individual decision. A decision on a part of a person that they are going to recognize who Jesus Christ is, and no matter what it costs them, they're going to follow them. Even if it costs you your family. Even, have you got it? Listen carefully. Even if it costs you your family. He goes on to say, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I'm in a very beautiful surrounding right here in the Galilee. But I want you to know that life is not always as beautiful and as ideal as the situation around me, as the environment around me. Sometimes there's pain, and sometimes there's hardness, and sometimes there's difficulty, and sometimes there are storms instead of sunny days. And he is making it very clear that we are to love him supremely, absolutely love him supremely above everyone else. It says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Followed, follow is a key word in Matthew, because Jesus steps into time and space. He declares who he is, and then men have to make a decision. And he's saying, I want you to know this, that you must love me supremely. I am God. And you must follow me totally and completely. And even if it costs you your family, this is what you must do. If you are not willing to take your cross, what's the cross? They understood. They saw people crucified every single day in this land. Crucified because the Romans ruled over this people, and that's the way they dealt with criminals. If you were a Roman citizen, you could not be crucified. But if you were not, they could nail you to a cross any day, any time, any place, as long as the wood was there. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, he who does not take up his cross, an instrument of death. It's one that when you're nailed to that cross, you can't look any way you want. You can't turn around. You only look in the direction that the cross allows you to look in. It is an instrument of death. And he's saying, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Do you want life? He says, then you lose your own life. You deny yourself. You take up your cross. You follow me. He who receives you receives me. I'm calling you to a cross, and I'm telling you that as I send you forth, you're my disciple. You're my follower. And when you go out, if someone receives you, you and I are so closely identified that he is receiving me. And I am so closely identified with my Father that those that receive you are receiving me, and those that receive me are receiving the Father who sent me. Because when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you enter into a whole new relationship. We see later in John chapter 17, it's a relationship of oneness, that they may be one, Jesus prays, even as we are one. He says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. In other words, here's a righteous man, and you receive him because he's righteous. He says, I want you to know, there is a reward for those that receive righteous men. And it goes on to say, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives one of these little ones, there were children about, there were people about as he was teaching this. Whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. I want you to know there is a cost for following me, but there's also a reward. And those who honor you because of me then receive that reward. Yes, there's a cost to following Jesus, but I want to tell you something. The payoff is eternal. The payoff is heaven. It's the kingdom of heaven. I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying his word where it happened. Welcome back, beloved, to this beautiful, beautiful day in the region of Galilee, where Jesus carried on much of his public ministry. At the time of Matthew chapter 10, though, he, in essence, has drawn his disciples to him. He has laid out for them the cost of discipleship. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And as he lays that out before them, today, God is laying it out before you. He wants you to understand what it means for you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. It may mean your family relationships. It may mean your father. It may mean your mother. It may mean your brothers. It may mean your sisters. It may mean your son. It may mean your daughter. It may mean your daughter-in-law. But because Jesus is who he is, because he is the Son of God, because he is the Savior of the world, because he is the Son of David who is going to sit on his throne and rule forever, he demands absolutely, demands and commands and deserves absolute obedience, absolute submission to who he is, a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, has to walk even as his Lord walked. And so what is God's word to you today? What is his precept for life? His precept for life is this. Do you want to follow me? Do you want to be my disciple? If you do, these are the conditions, and this is what I expect. You must be willing to confess me before men, or I cannot confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. So now, decide. Will you deny yourself? Will you take up your cross? Will you? And will you follow me? And he says, if you will, there's a reward. There's a reward to you. And there's a reward to everyone that receives you and honors you as a disciple, as a follower of mine. And he says, I believe when you say that, welcome to the family. This is true righteousness. This is what the kingdom of heaven is all about, my friend. Think about this. Think about this. And follow him fully.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.